I'm incarnation where them Cardinals at, with them Cardinals on their glove and the Cardinal hat. I'm in the Cardinal sports zone spitting Cardinal raps. Say it.
C-A-R-D-S, let's go Cardinals.
Play a Cardinal game, get a Cardinal store.
Welcome back to the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, brought to you by the Jamon Brown Foundation and coming to you live from the Custom Multicade Studios. Guys, we are a couple days away. The name of this episode is Are You Ready for Some Football? And I think my guys are ready for some football.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Let's go.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah is what Joey said. Dad, I promise he didn't
cuss. Early birthday present for me.
Early birthday present for Higgy here. Don't interrupt me again or you're fired.
A little win and a 50-piece nugget.
There you go. Sounds good to me. Let me introduce my co-hosts. Not my ex-ones, but my current co-hosts. Sean Barber.
How's it going, folks?
Sam Basden.
What up?
Joe Wallman.
What up?
And Hickey.
What's up, everybody?
Hickey Two Snacks over here.
What's up, everybody?
Sean, go ahead. Say hi to the ladies.
Hello, ladies.
That was not a very good Val Venus.
Hello, ladies.
That's a better Val Venus.
That sounds like you've had too much practice, actually. But nevertheless, we got football right around the corner. Shout out to all of our fine sponsors real quick. We're going to get into the meat of this after that. Not lunch meat. Four Pegs Beer Lounge, Shack in the Back Barbecue, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping, and the fabulous Jamon Brown Foundation. Louisville football kicks off here in a couple days. They currently are a 13.5 point favorite, and that can change from time to time. The Western Kentucky Hilltoppers are coming to town. Let's go through a couple of these little news and notes we had. Joey, real quick, you went to search something earlier, and you got a very, very interesting error message. Would you like to share?
Yeah, I went to actually check and see some information on Western Kentucky's starting quarterback.
Yeah, you thought his name was Fartrell Cluggins, and it was something different.
I thought it was Tyrone Biggums.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I really didn't, but that's it was.
I know
was
you're close. Making fun of it, and you went. You
but
went
his name go, is and Tyrell Pigrom.
Not far away.
He's a transfer from Dumpster U. I mean, University of Dumpster. I mean,
Trash U.
Maryland. Sorry. There, I finally got it.
Yeah, we got there eventually.
For like Bubba Ray Dudley early on in his WWE days. But I went to like click on, so I searched, you know, went into Google, Tyrell Pigrom, ESPN, clicked on his bio link and... I got a 502 bad gateway error. Wow. Trying to click on there.
Well, here's something I have for Mr. Pigrom. You're going to have a lot of 502 errors in the 502 this weekend because we're about to light you up, buddy. And we're not going to let go. We're not going to let up or let go. It's going to be you're going to have all kinds of error messages on Saturday as far as I'm concerned. But I thought that was pretty funny because, I mean, 502, that's our area code.
Yeah.
And it's hopefully we force a lot of turnovers. They get a lot of errors, but I want to share that with you real quick before we got in to the meat of the conversation. First game of the season. Is everybody excited?
Yes,
definitely.
Very.
I'm over here
I can't contain my excitement. My shirt's popping over here.
No, that's that not happens excitement. Normally. What's that's popping, not excitement.
Higgy? What's popping?
My shirt.
So on a scale of 1 to 5 Big Macs, how excited are you for
10 Big Macs?
Whoa!
it's a 10 combo meal day for the Hickster.
Gosh,
over
dang.
Here. That's a lot.
He's earthquake excited.
That's tailgate right there.
That's a collision course.
That's he just always throws in these little. I don't even know what he said. Shout out to Commander Car.
Course.
I said collision course.
What he gets so excited? And
you're on a collision course with Wendy's drive through, or
oh god.
What's the meal for tonight? I'm kind of curious now because you're missing dinner.
You said you were excited to go get some food. Where are you going?
I'm debating between Culver's or Sonic.
Culver's sounds down.
Culver's, yes.
Yeah.
They close at 10, so I got 41 minutes here.
All right, so this podcast will be at least 42 minutes long just for that. So what I want to do real quick, let's go over. We had this conversation in the group chat earlier. We want to keep y'all up to date as well before we get into – No, you know what? We'll do that after the commercial
break. Do that after.
we had the top 10 players that Louisville will not play this year. Were there any from Western Kentucky? No. I do not see that, but I'm not sure.
They had some players that opted out, but...
Okay, but Higgy didn't pay attention to it. Okay, that sounds about right. It sounds about right. So, are you laughing at Sam's DM?
No! You remember what I said earlier? It was a joke a couple weeks ago, and then I showed the picture, like, of someone accepting my friend request.
Yes. It actually just happened. Okay. This is a family show. Oh, wait a minute. I just got to accept, too. That's awesome.
Let me see that.
Okay.
Hey.
Bring up Western real quick.
So we're gonna go to Western real quick. So what I want to start off with is everybody's predictions, and we'll work our way backwards from there. Higgy, because you're always sunshines and rainbows and Twinkies and Skittles. And high cholesterol. What do you think the finals? You can give details if you want to. What's your final score for Saturday?
I say 49-24. But the thing that scares me the most for Western wise is they are returning a lot on defense. They're returning 8 starters, and they were at the 31st defense in the nation last year. So that does a little scare me a little bit. But Joey, I think our offense is way much better.
Joey, I can't believe that was just said, but. What is your prediction for the game Saturday?
Ooh.
Because normally we give our predictions last, but I'm feeling like doing this backwards tonight.
I mean, I feel like we won by at least 3 scores. So, I mean, 34-10.
Okay. Sam?
I'm going to go with 56-17.
I'm probably lowballing the score, but the only reason I kind of lowballed it is just because it's first game. Kind of getting used to the smaller crowd thing.
I do think, and 56 was a stretch for me, but I just think this offense is way too talented. And I know they have a lot, like Higgy said, 8 returning starters and things like that. The offense, though, Western's offense is going to challenge Louisville. It's going to be a good challenge for Louisville's defense. But I still think that we find a way to get them off the field a whole lot more, and they can stay on the field to keep the ball away out of McHale's hand.
Sean?
I'm going to go 49-28. Just because I think we're gonna score, but we're going to have to kick some field goals. I think our defense is going to be one of these defense bend but don't break.
Okay, 49.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're going to have some field goals in there.
That's not what I'm questioning. You think we're going to give up 4 touchdowns?
No, 28.
Yeah, that's 4 touchdowns.
Right? Yeah.
He said 49-28.
Yeah, 49-28.
You think we're going to...
I don't.
I just think it's a possibility.
So, no, I mean, I guess here's
their offense is going to be a challenge. I'll let you know that now.
Quarterback's from Maryland. No.
Okay.
But my concern is, real quick, just on that, if you think we're giving up 4 touchdowns to Maryland's or to
Western,
Western's better than Maryland. But what do you think is going to happen the rest of the season?
I think we get better as the season goes along. I think, much like he said, that it's going to be getting used to the environment, and I guarantee you, Western's going to throw out all stops. This is their biggest game of the year, so they're gonna pull all kinds of trick plays.
Oh, they probably won't lose another game in their conference.
Yeah,
I mean, they won't lose probably. Maybe one. So, I mean, they're going to have a really good record. They'll probably sneak in the top 25 by the time the season's over.
Yeah,
because
they're definitely going to wax FAU.
My prediction, 62-13. I have every faith that we will be rolling on all cylinders from the moment we get out there. You got to think, these kids are used to playing in high school stadiums where there's not a lot of people there. 12,000 is a lot of people. But they're used to playing in front of that kind of a crowd. So, and unless they're from Texas where they get 50 grand every game, this isn't going to affect them that much. This is going to be just like a glorified practice. And that's when you're hitting on mostly all cylinders. So I feel like we do get the 60. We eclipse the 60 mark. Got a couple field goals in there just for good measure. And I think that the majority of their points are going to – their touchdowns definitely going to come early in the game. But, no, I'm just feeling 62-13 as the final score. So, how do we get there? So, the starting lineups, were announced. And Sean, you have those starting lineups, correct, in front of you? You have them pulled up?
Or? I have the defense.
The defensive starting lineup. Okay. We know who the offense is. Sam, I'm gonna let you take control here and guide us through what you want to talk about as far as the key bullet points, because here's the thing, and we can also here in a second give our season predictions, and we've already done that. It's in the piece you saw the other day from Jeff Nunn at CardinalSportsZone.com, but we'll go ahead and give them again here on the podcast. I got to remember what mine was, but nevertheless, and we'll also go into why we think the records are going to be like that, because we have a big list of people that are not going to be partaking in this football season, which is a big reason why we think we're going to be so much more successful than we would have been already. But Sam, I'm going to let you go ahead and take control and lead us through what you want to talk about here.
Yeah, I want to talk about, like Sean said before, and then Joey said in the previous episode, this is going to be Louisville's, like we all said, basically, this is going to be Louisville's second time with the same, well, first time with the same defensive coordinator for a while. So
right.
The defense is going to be much improved. We did stock up on the defensive line. We had we got Yaya Diaby. I know you love Yaya.
Yeah.
And we got Jadarian Bunkin. We got him back from last year's class. So we got two elite pass rushers, and that's what we lacked last year. We also lacked depth, which they added
depth,
because now you can bring Derek Dorsey, who, no disrespect to the young man, I never saw him as a full time starter at an ACC level. Anyway, he was pretty good, but I don't think he's a full time starter. So you move him back as a rotational player, mm-hmm. get a few snaps in here or there to get someone like Yaya or Peterson or Boykin or Rest, pretty good. So now with that added depth up front, we can get more pressure in the backfield, stopping the runs without having the blitz, or rushing the quarterback without having the blitz, where you can drop more man in the coverage.
That has effect on the linebackers too.
It does, because now you could drop them in the coverage. You mm-hmm. could spy. You could make them move around, some zoom blitzes, things like that, confuse the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And especially like Joey said, the quarterback's from Trash University, a.k.a.
Wow. Maryland.
All right. So look, Western Kentucky's offense is going to be a challenge for Louisville, all jokes aside. I think it is.
For a couple minutes, yeah.
Maybe the first half, and then the talent and the depth charts at Louisville starts to take place, and we see how great it is to have guys like Dorian Etheridge and Robert Hicks, C.J. Avery, Yaseh Abdullah, Roger Burns in the backfield. At your linebacker spot. And then you have guys like Marlon Character, Chandler Jones, Anthony Johnson, those guys in the secondary. Rush Yeast is back and healthy. So with that right there, that's why I think I said 17 points. I think that Louisville raises up to the challenge and keeps that Western offense under control for the entire game.
I think a lot of people are sleeping on our defense. I think they're going to be much better, much, much better than they were. I mean, they were better last year than most people thought.
Yeah.
Right. Than the year before. But I really think we're the guys that we have out there, like the experience that they have gained now. Now, I'm not saying they're top 10 defense in the country.
Right.
But all we have to do is be maybe the third or fourth in the conference, and we're gonna, you know, with the offense that we've got, man, that's a good combination. And I just really think a lot of people are sleeping. And no offense, but like the 28, even being that first game, the 28 points, these guys. So if that's the case, how many do you think? Did you say on offense 49. So why do you think the offense will be able to work in those conditions that well and the defense won't?
I think it'll just, I don't
just
know.
A question.
In my opinion, I just think the offense, they don't need the crowd as much as the defense does. Defense feeds off the crowd.
We will have some crowd there. We will have, I mean, obviously we're going to have, you know, right, 12,000. We're going to have some, I believe, crowd noise
pumped in
as yeah. well. I guess my point, I don't
see them giving up 28.
I don't. Not against Western, and probably not, honestly, on our schedule, there's only a couple teams that I think will score 28 points on or more on us.
Wake Forest, Notre Dame.
I'm just saying.
Maybe
Virginia? Our defense. I'm telling
you. You don't think Wake Forest does? Oh, you're right. Maybe not, because Surratt. Well, we'll talk about this later, but Surratt's sitting out this year. So, I mean, you never know.
Mm. I want to drive home that point. I think the defense isn't getting enough respect.
And I think our only weakness on defense, if I'm being honest, is going to be the defensive line, and not because it's weak, but because it's the uncertainty of it. It's not. We don't know how it's going to perform just yet. Right. I mean, it's the first game of the year, but I mean that was one of the places last year where you looked at and you're like, if we have a weakness, that's where it's at. Nothing against the young men that are in those positions. I don't mean that you all physically are weak, but that's not. I mean, you have to get better, and I feel like they have learned enough from last year that they have gotten better. I don't see them scoring in the 20s against us. I mean, I already gave my prediction. I said 13, a touchdown and two field goals. So I think we get better. I think we're a top 25 defense this year, probably towards the end, 25, 26.
Well, I definitely agree.
Anywhere between 24 and 30. I'll give that credit. I think we see a huge turnaround. I say if we really want to turn this all the way around, bring back Charlie Strong, bring back Clint Hurt, let them be in charge of the D-line. Just let them just be in charge of the D-line. Nothing against our D-line coach now, but just let them come in and just – beat the crap out of our D-line, because that's one thing that they could that they did do was we had a great defense when Charlie was here.
Jermaine Brooks.
Oh, it'll get back there, though.
Sheldon
Rankins, Marcus Smith.
I think Mark Ivey will get us there.
Bobby Petrino was recruiting. He wasn't recruiting the defense.
He recruited 4,000 receivers.
Right.
And he would recruit safeties. That's all he would recruit. He wouldn't recruit safeties and linebackers or defensive linemen. And that's why
he would try to convert his receivers into safeties and the safeties into receivers.
Yes.
So, I mean, he dug a hole. Like, that's going to get back to where, like, we don't have to be a top five national defense.
No.
We don't have to have that. Not with the offense we have. We just need to be an average defense.
I will
above
say this.
Average. I need us to be above average.
Well, we've been below average.
Yes.
I will.
We need to get to average first.
Okay.
I will say this. To your point, I will give you this, is that the one thing we do have is we do have quite a bit of experience, not on the defensive line, as you said, but linebacker and defensive backs.
Secondary.
We have a lot of return experience.
And those linebackers in the guard position, they'll be able to come up and help that defensive line, you know, help in some of those spots.
Rajay Burns has a chance to really cement himself.
Defensive MVP.
And have a chance to actually get drafted in the first three rounds of draft.
You say Rajay. I think to me, it has to be either Jared Goldwire or Dorian Etheridge. And the reason why I think
it should be Dorian Etheridge.
Well, it should be, but I think it
will be Rajay Burns.
I think it needs to be Jared Goldwire, because he's the nose tackle. He's up front. He's the one that demands the double team and pushes that guard and that center back. If he doesn't demand a double team on just about every single play, then you have offensive linemen running up to the second level to block.
And while I don't disagree with you, but we're sitting here talking about the defensive line as our weakness,
right?
How can we get our defensive MVP from our weakness?
No, that's why I say it needs to be.
Right.
It needs to be.
Right. Well, another thing we need to see, and I think this goes along with the narrative that you all are pushing, is that Dorian Etheridge had a great freshman year.
Yes.
Freshman All-American.
Then he, in my opinion, he regressed a little his next year.
Yes.
Didn't he get hurt?
A new system. Learn it.
A new system. Right. And that could be. So here we are. This is his junior year, correct?
No, this is senior
year. His senior?
There's no excuses
this year. I lost a whole year?
Yeah, we all did.
Oh, okay.
But you got to keep in mind, though.
2-10 Bobby. We all lost a year.
Fair.
He
fair.
Got hurt
his freshman
too.
Year, he did came in early. He came in early, and he blew everyone away.
He did.
In spring and fall. The sophomore year, 2-10. Look, it was a new defensive coordinator, things like that. He's still young. And then last year, you saw
the
what he did.
The first year he's had the same defensive coordinator.
Right. So that's
you call that guy a defensive coordinator? I'm not
going to
call him a nine guy.
That's fair. That's very fair. Very fair.
So this year, like you say, with the same defensive coordinator for the first time in his college career, I think he will do great.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a force to be reckoned with. But like I said, I still think that our defensive MVP needs to be up front because that's where everything is won and lost, is in the trenches. And for us to have the season that we want, someone needs to take charge up front, and I think that has to be the senior, the guy in the middle, the nose tackle, Jared Goldwire. He has the physical tools and the capability. I think, wasn't he a four-star defensive tackle coming out of high school?
He was either a high three or a low four. I don't recall. We'll have Higgy on that. He'll get that for us at the end of the show.
So, wanted by all the major, most of the major schools. So
this he was a big target, that's for sure.
This is his time to go ahead and show why he was rated so highly, why he was so sought after, and lead Louisville's defense to where they need to be for this team, in my eyes, to succeed and overachieve like we did last year.
Right.
So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to have a commercial-free episode, which is fine. We've given them all the love at the beginning. We'll give them all the love at the end. We recorded a couple other episodes today, so they get all the love that they want. This is actually going to be an extra episode this month anyway. So shout out to, once again, Four Pegs Beer Lounge, Shack in the Back Barbecue, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, Jamon Brown Foundation, and Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. What I want to do is switch the focus over to the offense for just a second. And you talked about this a little bit the last episode, or maybe it was between episodes. I don't remember or not, Sam. But something me and you agree on, we're really excited. So I want to know what thing most excites you all about the offense. For me, I'm excited to see Javian or Hassan turn into a multi-purpose running back, being able to both run the ball and catch like a Bilal Powell type player who can also receive the ball out of the backfield. Sean, I'm gonna go to you first. I know you're not used to being picked first. I'm gonna go ahead and do that though. What's the one thing that excites you about the offense this year? We know that there's a plethora of weapons that's got everybody thinking that this is probably going to be one of the more prolific offenses in recent Louisville memory.
I feel like it's got to be the most loaded.
It's got to be the most loaded
that I've seen at Louisville.
I would say since
from top to bottom.
I would say since for me, it would be since 96 when it was Chris Redman, Ivan Green, Lavelle Boyd, Charles Sheffield, Damian Dorsey, Zeke Parker. The running backs are all escaped. They were all pretty good. They're escaping me right now, and I apologize.
Cal Arrington, was he one of them?
No.
No, it was before.
Frank Moreau was one of them.
Yes, Frank Moreau.
Broke his leg, my buddy Frank. And there's a couple more, and I apologize for not.
I can't think of them either. I know who you're talking about, but just.
But
it's right there, man. I'm telling you, like, it is right there.
So for me, I know there's a lot to. What are you excited about seeing?
I'm excited
from the offense.
Sorry, I tried to put spotlight on you.
I'm excited to see. Well, first off, I gotta get this light that was shining in my eyes. I'm seeing. Like,
are you okay?
But. I'm excited to see the growth and maturity of Mikael Cunningham. I want to see, is he taking that step? Because like the defense, believe it or not, the offense, they had multiple coordinators too. I know Bobby was basically a coordinator, but they lost him in what? How many games were left? Three games, four games, whatever?
What was the first week of the season?
Oh, God.
It was
did I mention Arnold Jackson earlier? I did, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Just making sure. Otis Floyd, Antonio Roundtree, Rico Williams. I forgot.
How do
you forget Danny Mosby, one of our fine, you know, he supports us as well here. So,
but yeah, I want to see how Mikael Cunningham because he started to get it.
Tendai Chirisika. I keep interrupting you, and it's not on purpose, even though you think it probably is.
But I want to
Miguel Montano.
Yes, Miguel Montano. He's one of my favorite players when I was growing up, believe it or
not. Man, he was before that, though.
No, I'm reading off the 96 roster.
But
or 97 roster.
So. Mikael has to continue that growth curve.
Leroy Collins.
I remember
Leroy Raphael
Collins.
Cooper.
That's what I was trying to think of.
Raphael Cooper. All right,
we're off 96. 96 is great.
In the NFL. Okay, I'm done now.
But the bowl game.
Sean
Barber really came out in the bowl game as a possibly star quarterback. All right?
I'm telling you, he's a star quarterback.
He is a star quarterback. He has to be able to stay healthy. That's a big, big thing. If he doesn't stay healthy, then it's not going to matter.
I don't know
how good he is.
I'm going to be a little pick a bone on that. Everybody's got to stay healthy.
That's true, but he got
injured a lot.
But he got injured a lot.
If he stays, I get that, but everybody has the possibility of getting injured. I'm with you. Like he does has to. But man, and I know you can't see a lot. You can't tell a lot through pictures. But a lot of times, pictures are worth a lot, right? And if you've seen this dude since last time they stepped on the field through camp and lifting and everything, if you've seen him on Instagram and everything, dude, he's you see a fire in his eyes.
He knows he's the guy now.
He knows that he's got a chance. Now, we all not even coming close to calling him Lamar Jackson, but he's got a chance to really make a name for himself this year. Yes.
So we
more
had Joey's
so now
thoughts.
With COVID,
yeah,
and you know, no Big Ten. No Pac-12. Well, right now, no Big Ten, no Pac-12. But he's got a really good chance.
So we have Joey's thoughts on who he's deeming Jackson Jr.
No, I'm joking. He's got a chance to be something special.
So baby Lamar.
So Sean mentioned.
What about
excited,
you, Sam?
Sean mentioned he was excited about the growth and maturation of Mikael Cunningham. What I'm most excited to see is the growth, the maturity, how well they grasp the offense is the band of brothers. Mm. Because I think they go a long way into helping Mikael show his growth and maturity, show how he's improved his passing ability. I want to say it's Tutu that said it 2 weeks ago. He said Mikael's actually throwing the ball a whole lot better than he did last year. So in order for him to have that type of success, it starts up front. And one thing that I realized, and I want to apologize too, when we was
that's
on
okay, I forgive you.
when we were on ACC Nation, I actually called Cole Bentley Jake Bentley.
we all heard that and caught it.
So, but I want to apologize to the young man. It's actually Cole Bentley. So you have two seniors, two juniors, and of course, redshirt freshman Renato Brown on the roster right now as our starters. But if you look at that, you have, like I said, the two juniors in Caleb Chandler and Adonis Boone. Adonis Boone gained some credible and crucial time when Makai decided to step away from the team and not opted out of playing in the bowl game. So with that, you have those two juniors who will be back next year, and you also have Brown, who's a redshirt freshman, he'll be a sophomore next year. So now you'll have some continuity in that line for years and years. And so that's why I'm so excited to see what they do their second year under Coach Leftwood, because our success, especially Mikael and Asan and Javion, it starts and begins up front with that offensive line and how well they can gel together.
Joey, what about you? What excites you about what potentially excites you about the offense?
The utilization of the tight end position, because I think they have I think Marshawn Ford and
Ian Pfeiffer
they're gonna have their opportunities. Tutu's gonna get doubled. Dez is going to, you know, Dez is still a really good receiver that's going to demand some respect out there. So Marshawn Ford showed what he, you know, kind of could do last year. I feel like this is a really good opportunity for Marshawn Ford to put his name up there with Tutu and Mikel and Javion and Hassan Hall and like, it's not just those guys. Say my name.
Don't
Marshawn Ford,
redshirt freshman Dez Melton,
yeah,
who can stretch the field vertically, unlike Pfeiffer can.
So Marshawn can stretch the field a little bit. Yeah,
yes, he can. So
that's why, I mean, because everybody else is. I mean, we're obviously talking about quarterback, running back, wide receiver, right. And obviously the offensive line has, you know, something to prove as well.
Right.
But that tight end position is going to be crucial.
It does. You're right. I do want to see how they use. How they find different ways to use the tight end, because Marshawn Ford was like kind of like a Swiss Army knife for them. They used him as the H-back a few times as well, too.
He's one of the best blockers on the team. They love getting him out in front of those running backs.
Which also helped him in the passing game. That's going to
help the offensive line as well.
Yes.
I have to still line him up on the blocking side on what Mekhi was left tackle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that's the blindside tackle, right? Yes, yeah. I feel like that's where they'll put when they line him up to block.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I get what you're saying.
Kind of fill that gap left by the hotel.
So, and I think we saw shade. That's a great point, Joey. We saw shades of that last year because Marshawn definitely reaped the benefits of all the receivers being double and triple teamed. We're going to give our predictions here in a minute. And the only reason I'm not going to Higgy is because we covered every position group, so there's not really anything else left to be excited about. And Higgy shook his head when we all talked. I'm not excluding him from it intentionally, on purpose.
This time.
But we're going to give our predictions. And before we can do that, season predictions, here are the top 10 players that Louisville is not going to play this year. Caleb Farley, the cornerback from Virginia Tech, big play guy, second in ACC in interceptions, projected as a first-round pick.
Would have been probably covering Tutu.
Mm-hmm.
The second guy we have on the list, Gregory Rousseau, the defensive end from Miami. He led the ACC in sacks last year and was the ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year.
He killed us when we played him last year.
Good for Mikhail.
Jalen Twyman, the D lineman from Pittsburgh, 10.5 sacks, 41 tackles, first team all ACC. This next guy, I think we all took a collective sigh of relief when we found out he would not be returning to the Demon Deacons, and that's Mr. Sage Surratt, the wide receiver. Had a decent game against us last year. I don't want to say it was an anomaly because he did pretty well the rest of the year, but he wouldn't have been able to do that.
The one who had one of our DBs like doing.
Yeah.
Twirls and pyramids.
Toast. Yeah, he had toast out there looking like, that's what I call it.
Ballet out there. Woo.
I might mess this up, but the defensive end for Virginia, Aaron Falmy.
I'll let Higgy do it.
Higgy, go ahead. What number 5?
Yes.
I would say Fahumi.
Fahumi. Foo you. Don't foo me. He had 4 sacks.
Hold on. Foo me once, shame on you.
Foo me twice, and it's Saskatchewan while I'm berserked. 4 sacks last year. Played all 14 games. I don't have any stats for the rest of these guys because Higgy evidently gave up after 5. But we got the defensive end from Florida State, Jamarcus Chapman. Defensive tackle, Dennis Briggs. D lineman from Syracuse, Cooper Dawson.
We'll worry about Syracuse anyway.
Running back for Virginia. So is that their second or third? That's their second. Mike Hollis. All of them, you know, they all had their own part in the season. So Higgy, since I exclude,
don't forget, North Carolina has 4 players opting out this year as well. So far,
are they on our schedule?
They're not on our schedule. Okay, but
they could be.
They could be in the ACC championship.
And Clemson might have some, too. No, it's going to be Clemson.
No, they won't.
Unless the entire Clemson team comes down with the COVID.
Right. If we're playing in the ACC championship game, it's going to be against Clemson.
But don't forget, they also said that they're doing based on percentages. And North Carolina has a pretty easy schedule. Because I don't think they play Clemson either. So if Clemson has to miss 1 game or 2 games and North Carolina doesn't, percentage-wise,
That is true.
Percentage wise, Clemson will still be undefeated. So the percentage is going to be 100%.
I understand that, but which 100% is better, 8 games or 10 games?
As far as the college football playoff and college football is concerned,
whatever Clemson has, right?
Percentage
Clemson
is better.
Clemson could be 4-0, and they will
Clemson
be the better
Clemson will be in, yeah.
So, Higgy, I'm going to let you go to this first. And we don't have to include, because we don't even know if they're going to have bowl games. From the email I got yesterday, as of now, it's looking like it's a college football playoff or bust for everybody.
So no, maybe not even just the New Year's Six bowls.
No, well, the email I got yesterday said tentatively it's just four, the CFP and that's
Final Four. Okay,
CFP. I said no, it is CFP. It's college football playoff. Football. I had it right the first time. Higgy, don't get me second guessing myself over here. but so we're gonna exclude anything postseason other than the
just
eighth,
the 10+1,
just the regular season. And then you can say we make the ACC championship game or not. But what is your prediction for the season?
I say 11-2. Just because
it's an 11
can't even
game
play 13
season.
Games,
but
bro.
This,
we could we had if we played the ACC
the national championship game.
The ACC championship.
Okay. No, so if we're not
time
playing,
out. Hold on.
Okay,
Hickey, did you actually hear the question?
Yeah, did you hear me? I said excluding the college football playoff bowls. It's 11.
We have 11 games, bro.
What is our record?
10-1
for the 11 games, regular season. We're not, and then say, yes, we make the ACC title game.
9-2, no. Yes, we make the ACC title game.
There you go, 9-2. That's a winner there.
There you go.
Un-effing believable.
And I think I'm muted here.
No, you're not. Muted. We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Say something.
Testing.
Yeah, we can hear you. Joey?
Man, I may have talked myself into something really good. So 11-10.5, man. Like I feel like, dude,
10.5. You can't
11.
11-0.
I'm going with it. Screw it.
Okay. And do we win the ACC championship game?
I told you earlier.
Hell no.
45-42, we lose.
Okay. All right. So
we still lose. We're still not better than Clemson.
11-1 for Joey.
And we make the college football playoff.
So my 10-2 prediction was good then.
No, that's 13 games.
10-2?
12 games.
You just said 11-2. Anyway, 11-0,
Sam. 11-1. 11-2 overall because we'll lose in the college football playoff.
We're not counting this. Yeah.
He did. He said, I said 11-0. And he said, well, then 11-1 with the
ACC title game.
Right.
Okay. Sam?
Oh, okay. I think we lose to Notre Dame. And I think that's probably the only loss we take.
Clapping on it. 11-0.
So, Sam, you're 10-1? Is that?
Yeah, because.
Okay, come on, Sam. You know you want to.
I
you
want,
know listen, you want to.
No. Listen, here's the reason.
Don't
why.
Be no PB.
No. Never. But here's why. Jeremy says this just about every single show.
Is our offense better than Notre Dame's?
That's not what he says.
That's not what I say.
We are the University of Louisville Cardinals. We are bound to throw up a clunker.
Sometime.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Somebody has to break the pattern.
It's still years and years.
And COVID has broke the pattern for Louisville.
You think so?
11-0.
You know what? Just because of Joey?
That's my dude.
10-1.
Oh, come on.
And,
you better not say 7-4.
We lose to Clemson in the ACC championship.
Sean,
don't say it.
I'm not gonna say it. I'm gonna go 9-2.
Okay,
I'm going 9-2. I think we lose to Notre Dame. If it was here, I think we wiped the floor with Notre Dame. But going up there, I don't know. I just don't feel great about it. And then the other loss,
we did beat them there last time.
That's true.
With fans.
Full
stadium.
And their team was about as good as they are now. And
full stadium.
Ours is a little better than it was then.
Don't forget, they did beat us earlier last year, too.
The breaks off of us. But anyway,
and
back
then,
to you, Sean.
3 fumbles.
And then I would say the other loss is going to be some kind of weird
Clunker it ain't gonna game. Be Pitt. So no. You and Jeremy can take that out of y'all head. Pitt don't have any fines that I
get. Get Pitt out of here.
Right. Thank you very much. It ain't gonna be Pitt.
No, it could be something like, even though we owe them, it could be Florida State because.
Nope.
Because every time we should beat them.
Willie Taggart ain't beating Louisville. At well, Louisville.
Ain't Willie Taggart now. It's
Mike Norvell.
Mike
sorry,
Norvell.
Mike
Willie
Norvell,
Taggart's team.
It's, yeah, it's still his team. Mike Norvell not beating Louisville.
They
at
still
Louisville.
Have Marvin Wilson. Because that guy killed us last year.
Well, you know what? They have James Blackman as their starting quarterback. So
that's true. If they smart. But, and then the ACC title game, we if we make it, we lose to
Clemson.
Well,
hold on. We're not making the ACC title game if we go 9-2 in regular season.
Yeah, North Carolina, Notre Dame is going to gonna get that edge. Yeah.
So I think we go 27-2.
My dude.
27-2.
That was an homage to Higgy there.
I was going to say, is that our record for the next 2.5 years?
I'll take it.
I'm going to go. And I'm going to break the mold, and I'm going to include the ACC championship game.
My show and I can do whatever I want.
Because it's my show and I can do whatever I want. It is going to be, we are going to go 11-1 with a loss to Pittsburgh, and we are going to beat Clemson in the ACC title game.
Didn't I just
38-35. 38-35, we beat Clemson in the ACC championship game. And that's the way it's going to be.
So Jack Fargo picks off Trevor Lawrence again.
What'd you just call me?
I said Jack Fargo.
You can Jack Fargo yourself out the front door
Toast
in a minute.
Picks it off and takes it to the house.
No, Toast ain't there no more.
No. I was about to say.
Because he got his toast buttered last year.
Rajay Burns. Pick six.
Isaiah Hayes. It's going to be a good
Oh, that you know, that's a good last question before we wrap this up, which we're going to do. What is something out of the ordinary that's going to happen? Make a bold prediction for Saturday.
I got one.
I'll let you go first. I think on this one.
Hassan Hall, kick return for a touchdown.
Okay. I can see that.
I'm going to go.
Can't you, Joey?
I'm going to say Tutu has a passing touchdown and a receiving touchdown.
Oh, way to go out on a limb.
No, I'm not doing that. We don't need to expose
any
trick.
Right.
No, I don't think
it's
we need to.
It's not exposing the trick play. They already know that it's there.
You know, Tutu used to be a quarterback.
We don't need to give them that look, though.
Yeah, we saw that
they
in the last game.
Last year. Like, no, they know it's there. That's not really a trick play.
It is a trick play, but it's not. We don't need to.
We ran it against them last year, too, in the game against them. We did run a trick play against him last year.
Did we really?
Yes.
Okay.
We ran a trick play every game last year.
Probably. But, well, Sean's still thinking.
I know what Sean's can be.
Well, the
no,
Hail Mary?
Nothing like that. No.
Flea flicker?
No.
Anyway, what my bold prediction would have been was Hassan Hall was going to be the first player that, for some time, I think, to have a rushing touchdown, a receiving touchdown, and a kick return touchdown.
I like it.
Maybe 100, 100, and 100?
Ooh.
Ooh.
But now, since you took part of what I wanted to say, I'm going to say Louisville has two rushers over 100 yards and two receivers over 100 yards in the same game.
I don't think that's far-fetched at all. No. I think that's very, very easy.
I got
attainable.
One.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I got
the
one.
Tight end.
Jawan pass plays in this game.
That's not far.
Come on.
No, they
that's a given.
Evan Conley playing maybe far.
If we
no.
put 63, if we put 62 points up on the board, passes playing
T
the whole fourth quarter.
T. Webb should get some clock.
T. He could get some clock here.
I have a question for all you guys.
So what's the kicker thing?
Travelstead?
Yes, bro. He's the one I think is going to start.
That's like if you want to go out on
14
a, like,
field goals.
No,
jeez.
He pulls a Chalifu.
Bless you.
I'm gonna say Chalifu till I die. So get over it. He throws a touchdown pass. Fake field goal.
Oh. Well, here's mine. I'm going to say that both Dorian Etheridge and Chandler Jones intercept two passes each.
Ooh. Jeez.
I think I like that we have a big – I think we have like a big it. Day on turnovers.
Who? Dorian and who?
Chandler Jones. Okay.
Is it because the quarterback's from Trash U?
Well, plus he's supposed to have a 502 gateway error. What's a better way to give up. That's
the gateway to the end zone, baby.
and two of them are returned for touchdowns.
So then why each? Why we don't say, let's say, Jack Fago and maybe Rajay Burns, since they are from the 502.
Because that's okay. What he said.
No, I mean, if it's a 502 gateway error, how about we just
okay,
use
so
502 well, kids?
I don't hate that. So let me revise that. There are going to be two players that get two picks. Two of them are going to be returning for touchdowns.
I like that.
No names.
No. I'm going to take the names away because I think any of those four people we just mentioned can be interchanged.
Marshawn Ford has a 100-yard game. That's my second.
Higgy, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, who do y'all think, when we say the season's done and over with,
D's.
Who's going to be the offensive MVP and defensive MVP?
Defensive MVP, I kind of already said who I thought. I think Rajay Burns will.
I think Dorian Etheridge will be the defensive MVP.
I think it'll be Dorian. I think it'll be.
It should be, and I hope it is.
I think it'll be Dorian.
I think it's going to be Rajay. It's going to be Rajay.
And Javion will be the offensive MVP.
I'm going McHale.
You know what? Scratch that. I'm going to go with Javion because I'm not sure if McHale's going to stay healthy. I hope he does. I hope he does. Ooh. Mm-mm. But he needs someone to throw in the ball, though.
True.
But he could throw it 3 yards. And if Tutu takes it to the house,
the pop
you're
going to
be more.
The pop pass, right?
You're going to be more.
I can make that pop pass. And if you can't make that as a
yeah,
D1 McHale
gets
quarterback,
credit for
then,
the yards.
Yeah,
but
he does.
Tutu's, it's going to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, guys, that's another great show in the books. We appreciate y'all taking a listen to us.
We made it just in enough time for Culver's to close.
Oh, man.
There literally is 10:01.
Oh, no.
I hate you all.
I didn't do that on purpose.
I'm sorry, but I did.
Go to Taco Bell on your way. Get like four.
They don't have much easy for you. Extra potatoes.
Go sit
Mexican
in line
pizza
for,
before it's gone.
Go sit in line at Taco Bell for 4 hours on a Friday night. Or a Thursday night.
Only to wake up and have the worst case.
Never mind. Hey,
might be a White Castle
before
night.
Before I forget, and I should just wait. Shout out to all of those high school players that are finally getting a chance to play tonight. I know y'all aren't going to hear it, but I hope you all stay safe.
You mean tomorrow night?
No. Yes.
Because it's Thursday.
You know what I find funny?
What's that?
Is that the state of Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan are playing high school football, but the Big Ten isn't.
And the Pac-12.
Well, that's because that's where Maryland is.
Nobody even knows that the Pac-12 is even still around.
That is a good point.
Nobody
cares. How is it that you can organize for high schoolers?
Because their commissioner and their presidents are D-to-Ds.
D-to-Ds. I don't want to shout him out.
Shout out to all of the high school athletes, especially the Louisville recruits and commits. Have a good year.
Good safe year.
And stay safe, yep. Yes.
We won't tweet that to you, though, because we don't want to be like the creepy tweeter from that we asked. Not that he was creepy, but he asked, and we said, don't be the creepy. We don't want to be that guy. But I'm not sure
if I'm a booster or not.
You're not.
I may have donated to a GoFundMe or something.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just saying, you know.
It was a Go Something Me, but it wasn't that
I'm
fun.
I'm just saying, like, I don't even want to take a chance. Knowing the NCAA, they'll find a way. Like, Joe Wauman did it.
You're a fan of Louisville?
Yeah.
Possibly. Shout out to Pops. He had his first radiation treatments this week, so hopefully he's on the road to recovery and all that goes well. He's a fighter. He's hard-headed, so he's kind of like Matt Hardy. He refuses to die, and we appreciate that. So shout out to him. We know it's been tough on him, and you know we're all here behind you.
Shout out to Mom, too.
Yeah, Mom, too.
Because she's got to
go through it with him every step of the way.
Absolutely. So, well, she's got to put up with them. So, I mean, she deserves a medal anyway. Love you, Dad. I'm just kidding. Little. But we do want to shout him out. And, again, we're going to shout out all of our fine sponsors, Jamon Brown, Shack in the Back Barbecue, Four Pegs, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. And the rest of us are currently working on more. Not sure if Higgy is or not. But if you would like to advertise with the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, give us a call, 502-694-0375. That's 502-694-0375, and we will take care of you as soon as we get a free moment during the day. Continue to follow us on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook. Like the on Facebook. It's Cardinal Sports Zone. Hit that like button. Make it Facebook official. On Twitter, it's at Card Sport Zone. And on Instagram, individually, I'm at Jeremy_CSZ on both. He is
at LVL Sean.
At LVL Sean.
Baseboy 124.
Joe Wallman 526.
I am the Higgy.
Yes, you are, you sir. I was going to say something else, but I think we piled up on you enough tonight. So you can find the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast on a variety of avenues: Apple, iTunes, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google, iHeart. Hit subscribe on any of them. You'll get them before anybody else does. As soon as Sean gets home tonight, he is going to write up some, or maybe tomorrow. I'm not really sure how he's going to do it. He's going to write up a couple of stories for these podcasts that we've recorded over the last few weeks. We're going to get them right up just as soon as we can. Shout out to Sean and KG, the heart of the content squad. They have been absolutely swamped at work, and they're still getting stuff done, and we love and appreciate them so much. But again, hit the subscribe button. You'll get them before anybody. You'll even get them before Sean has the opportunity to write the story. I'll post the podcast. He'll be able to write it up. That's just how he's the Robin to my Batman, apparently, on that. If you haven't listened to all the previous episodes of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, you can check them out one of two ways. You can either go into the archives of the podcast avenue that you're subscribed to, or you can go to cardinalsportszone.com, click on the drop-down menu under podcasts, click on CSZ podcast. They're all listed there, and if they're not, Sean's going to take care of that too sometime this weekend. He's got a busy weekend. I'm telling him all the stuff he has to do live on the air, so he's over here giving me the evil look.
It looks like he's about to fall asleep.
I think so too.
Yeah, it's about to fall asleep because I was up till like 1 a.m. I couldn't sleep last night.
Partying
like five.
Were you playing Wii?
No, I couldn't sleep.
Or with your, never mind.
Oh Jesus!
Shout out to everybody. Shout out to everybody that is out there sharing the podcast and listening to the podcast and tweeting about the podcast. We appreciate and love you all so much. If y'all have any ideas or suggestions for guests or show ideas, shoot us a DM. We've given you all of our individual names, but shoot them to me too, at Jeremy_CSZ. Guys, do we have any last words? Sean?
As I've been saying lately, wear a mask for God's sake.
Sam?
Stay safe, everyone.
Joey?
Football is freaking back.
Higgles?
It is my birthday weekend. Nobody cares. Football will be back.
Nobody cares but everybody.
Higgy's going to eat a ton of chicken wings and poop Skittles this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Four Pegs to do this.
He's going to get four pegged after all the food he's going to eat.
Whoa.
Until next week, we're going to recap the game, the victory, the blowout. This has been the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast.
Go Cards.
Feel me. Sam.
Relax.
Sean. I need a girl. I need a girl. Oh, my. Right.
I need a girl. My. I need a girl.
That's not inflatable.
That is debatable.
No, that's not debatable.
It's very relatable.
Peace.
Versus insatiable.